following audio is a podcast from Leader Breakthrough, an organization committed to coaching and resourcing the personal development of risk-taking kingdom leaders. For more information, visit www.leaderbreakthrough.com.
Welcome to the Leader Breakthrough podcast. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Terry. Great to have you today.
Thanks for joining us. Terry, if you ask anyone today how their life is going, one of the first things that they will say is that they're busy in life and ministry and all the things that they're doing. It's hard to slow down and own your own development and step back and take a day, a week of rest and renewal. And it's not easy for me. It's not easy for you.
Nope.
And most leaders in life and ministry are at risk of burning out.
Yeah. You see it. You see it all around us. You see people who are going so fast, the pace of life, responding to so much complexity and demands in this thing called life. And you see them actually pushing past boundaries that if they would really get a big picture view of their life, they would see, man, I'm going too far here without some kind of break. But they ended up, hey, I've got to respond to this need. Hey, people are counting on me. Hey, we got this next project to do. It just keeps going faster. And it's having an impact on people, on life, on leadership. And it's having an impact, really, although we don't often acknowledge it, it's having an impact on the organizations, the churches, because we're not bringing the best of who we are to those situations. And so all around, there's impact with everything that's going on related to the pace and the challenges of living and leading in our day.
One of the things that you said there is we're not bringing in our best selves. And it's a little counterintuitive because it's so important and so urgent that we are where we are, that we stay engaged.
Right.
But long-term, we're not only hurting the ministry, the people we're around, our lives, our jobs, but it's ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, in the end, we're the casualty for this inability to actually disengage, experience a time of kind of replenishment and then re-engaging. And I see all along, I've coached a lot of individuals who are in a burnout. We're going to do a podcast on burnout. So that's not our topic today. But in reality, very few are doing what we call assuming self-leadership. In other words, taking responsibility for their own life and growth. And a lot of times that has to do with we're so enmeshed in the organization that how the organization goes and how we are get tangled up. And there needs to be a time where we disentangle so that we can more effectively lead, guide, and contribute to the things that we're most passionate about.
Well, what we would like to talk about today is the idea of a sabbatical, which is an extended period of that disengagement. So could you just give us some background on the idea of sabbatical, where it came from?
Yeah. And you know what? Let me start with a quick story. I was stunned when I was living in Australia. I lived, Robin and my wife, we lived there for 5 years. And during that period of time, I encountered something that I thought was unbelievable. And it was this. After 10 years, all of the corporations were mandated to give the people in their corporations a 3-month leave, and they were even starting to say a 3-month sabbatical away from the company and away from the leave. And it was a law, it was mandated. And I know now all of our listeners say, okay, that's it, I am moving to Australia, I want that world. But the reality was, I went, whoa, the business sector is recognizing what really is a biblical concept, and that's the concept of a Sabbath. And one of the things I'm even hearing today in the business sector is companies are sending leaders on sabbaticals, and they're actually even using the word. So it's not an uncommon word, it's just an uncommon practice, the idea of sabbatical. And sabbatical comes from the idea of Sabbath. And sabbatical I love what you just said earlier on, it's an extended time of disengagement of rest, of replenishment, and then a time to actually re-engage. So a true sabbatical is more than just a study leave. I hear guys come to me or gals come to me and say, I'm going to do a sabbatical, and what I'm going to do is write my paper during this time. Or I'm going to do a sabbatical, and what I'm going to actually do is for 3 weeks, I'm going to study this topic. Well, those aren't sabbaticals. I'm okay if we take a study leave. I'm okay if we take a time to work on a project. But that's not a sabbatical. A sabbatical is an extended time where we're actually able to disengage, rest, and then re-engage back into the life and the different challenges that we face.
So it's not a vacation. It's not where we keep checking email. So could you lay it out for us? What would this look like to take a sabbatical? Yeah.
Well, one, it's not 1 week, and it's not 2 weeks, and it's not 3 weeks. A sabbatical is months. I tell people even that 3 months is almost the bare minimum. 6 months would be better. People look at me and say, you're crazy, because they think there's no way I can leave whatever I'm involved in and have it keep sustaining itself without me, you know, kind of regularly giving input to it. But at its core, a sabbatical in its extended time has the three R's. One, there's a time of rest. This rest is the disengagement from work. This is cease striving and know that I'm God. So a time of rest where we're actually not even, we're totally disengaged. Email, we're totally disengaged in regular conversation from what we're involved in. And we're just doing things that actually cause us to cease striving. Now, a lot of people can't just sit around and you know, their first thoughts to me, Terry, is that's like navel gazing. I can't do that. I'm an active person. I get that. You can be active and still rest. But just in its overall, there's a period of rest. So that's the first third of a sabbatical. The second third of a sabbatical is replenish. Taking on things that aren't just best for the organizations, but taking on things that grow you. A replenishment could be a growth project. It could be going and visiting other leaders or situations or taking a conference or something that actually pours back into you. Not simply so you'll do your work better, but it pours back into who you are. It pours into your contribution. It pours into your understanding of what it is that feeds your soul. That's replenishment. That's the second third of a sabbatical. And then the last third of the sabbatical is a time to refocus. Once you've rested, once you've replenished, now it's beginning to say, okay, how do I want to re-engage differently? How do I refocus myself, the things I do, and even taking a look at the things that we need to do in our organization, ministry, church, or whatever? How do we actually do things better and do things different? And so that's a time of refocusing. So there's three R's. There's the rest, there's the replenishment, and there's the refocus. And typically in a sabbatical, that would occur over at least a three-month period of time. And when people are able to do that, there's some kind of stunning results. First, it's hard for them to slow down. And when they do, they don't realize how tired they are. That's the rest. Second, it's hard for them to actually not do things that are just good for the company or business or church, things that restore them and replenishment. And then three, with refocus, after they've rested and replenished, sometimes it surprises them. It's hard for them to restart the engine. And they'll even tell me, I don't know if I'm ready to even go back. So challenges along the way, but that's probably a longer answer than you were looking for, but that is the overall structure of a sabbatical.
That's great. And what I hear you saying is it it takes planning and structure to make sure it's done well. You're going to be taking time off of work, so let's make sure it's not just thrown away, wasted time.
Yep.
But it's also important for the personal development of the leader.
Absolutely.
Because they can actually grow, deepen, move forward, find things out that God's been speaking to them. So I wanted to ask you, what is one of the biggest challenges that people will face once they get into the sabbatical? What is something they could watch out for that maybe would be a common trouble?
Well, one I found is that people need structure. I don't care how free spirit you are. It's important to know there's structure around this thing. Because without some kind of what do I do first, second, or third, or how does this thing flow, all of a sudden people feel really lost. So Sabbath is not about actually disengaging to the point that you don't know where you are and what you're doing. So having those three kind of focuses has really helped give kind of guardrails and in some sense a pathway through the sabbatical. So one of the things I found is that people need structure. Another place that typically they go off, they need a chance to process. So it's not that you begin a sabbatical, go all the way through it and end the sabbatical. You could really use some very important conversations as you go. So in other words, when you hit that rest period, it'd be really good for you to have a conversation with somebody that talks about the struggles with rest. I don't rest very well, or it was hard for me, or man, I'm more tired than I thought. It's really good to have a conversation that talks about growth projects and what it is that you're going to do. And it's really good to have a place to process when you're done and you're trying to reenter. So the second major issue is they need to process. And then the third issue I found with individuals is they need to know that they have permission. So the structures around them need to tell them they have both the permission and the mandate to do this. Because if the church or if the ministry or even if the business doesn't say that to the person, duty, responsibility, and guilt can quickly take over. And then all of a sudden that individual feels like, you know, this is all about me, and I need to get back at being there for everyone else. So those are the three things that I've seen or found as I've coached people and helped people think about and actually live through and even live to tell about life after a sabbatical.
Well, let me take what you said there on the second thing, needing someone that can be with you. You don't get to clarity alone. And
right.
What I hear you saying is you don't sabbatical alone.
Good. Yeah.
I have actually a personal opportunity to coach someone through a sabbatical, Terry. So what could you help me know and think about as I engage them?
Well, the thing that's cool about this is right before we went on the air, we actually hit on this topic of sabbatical, and it's really prevalent out there because of the fact that you personally are going to try to help coach somebody through sabbatical. So you may be a coach out there listening to this and wonder, you know, kind of Patrick's very thing. And I've probably coached maybe 20, 30 people through the sabbatical itself. And one of the things that I really kind of have discovered is people need to know they need help with the sabbatical. So almost our line, you don't get to clarity alone, is actually deepened in, you're not going to get the most out of your sabbatical by journeying it just yourself. So when I'm coaching somebody, I say, let me help you process this. Let me help you work through this. And let me introduce these three R's to you as possible segments. And the first thing I hear is, wow, there's a way to do this. So coach, that's the first thing you can do is provide the structure. And by the way, when people have structure, they can let down and rest. But when they don't have structure, they're going to always wonder, am I doing this thing right or not? So providing that kind of structure. The second thing I do when I coach a sabbatical is I ask them for four coaching appointments. One to start it, one to help them process the rest, one to help them process the replenishment, and one to help them process the refocusing, so that they are actually intentionally know that as they're going through this, there's going to be a time where they can make sure they're getting the most out of this by having this coaching conversation. So that's the second thing. It's usually four coaching calls. And honestly, when I coach people, especially in these areas, there's some kind of keys to this area. So if I'm coaching somebody in the first part and they start talking about work, I just break in and say, I don't want to talk about work. I want to know, what adventure did you go on? I want to know the new thing you did. I want to know what it is that you're finding that's giving you life. I want to know, be honest with me, how hard was it to let down? I want to know if you fully even let down yet. So I'm just coaching that topic. I'm not coaching the whole sabbatical all at once. I'm coaching the topics. Same thing when I get to replenishment. I want to know in that moment what growth project you have. I don't want to talk about maybe how that growth project is going to change the church. I want to know how you're pouring back into you. Tell me the things. And even at times I push them. You know, come on. You know, this is unbelievable you get this opportunity, but we got to actually make sure we're restoring you. And then with the refocus time or the end deal, it's sometimes, okay, tell me about what it feels like to go back as much as what you're bringing back with you. So at the refocus deal, you're really helping them think not only just about what they're bringing back, but who they're bringing back and what could be different and how they want to build almost a re-entry strategy as they head back to their company, their business, or their church.
Well, I'm looking forward to my opportunity to coach someone through their sabbatical. And it really is, the work is important, but it'll always be there. And so it's really about this person's development, their heart, you know, getting out of burnout.
Yep.
And re-engaging their God-given calling.
Yep.
And as they re-engage their life purpose.
And you know, a final comment, Patrick, is that you have to give yourself permission and be okay with the fact that you're the resource. You're the gift. You're the person that they need. Not necessarily all the things you can do for them. It's who you are. So sabbaticals are about restoring you. And if we give ourselves permission to disengage, that sounds an awful lot like the king that we follow, who the disciples couldn't find, who was often disengaged in order to reengage. And if it's true that our life should be worship, not just the songs we sing, but our life should be worship, we have got to have times where we are still and we know that He is God in order to enter back into the fray and help people discover our God. Sabbaticals are key. Sabbaticals are essential.
That's great. Well, thanks, Terry, for taking the time today to walk us through sabbaticals. And just be encouraged wherever you are, if you're a coach or if you're a ministry leader, think about the permission of taking a sabbatical and doing it well and having the structure. And if there's anything we can do at Leader Breakthrough, please let us know. Visit our website, leaderbreakthrough.com. And I'm Patrick.
And I'm Terry.
And we'll see you next time.
For more information, visit www.leaderbreakthrough.com.